This is Chris Witoski, who, well, you've been to Chicago, been in Second City, improv, yada, 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 went to Los Angeles, been on Netflix and the movies, et cetera, et cetera. But
that's my resume right there. You're right.
That's it. I'm reading right from the page, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I've heard of, this is extremely interesting to me. The streaming services, all of them are always looking for new material. It's like vacuum cleaner. They're going to suck it up wherever they can get it. And
Content is king.
Content is king. Exactly. And I've heard of podcasts being turned into movies, but I've never heard of a Twitter account being turned into a Netflix animated series. And that's
I haven't either, buddy.
Oh, now come on. That's your story, isn't it?
That is my story, but up until my story, I had never heard of it either. So,
no, right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty lucky.
Well, you're in the right place at the right time. Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly.
Can you tell us, fill everybody in on how this started as a Twitter account, and then and I'm anxious to hear the process of how it transferred from a Twitter account to a Netflix animated series. I mean, that's just an awesome story, I hope.
It is. So I grew up in the burbs, and then I lived there in the greatest city in the world for many, many years. And I performed at Second City there, the theater there in Old Town. And then once I kind of got to the top of the mountain in Chicago, I decided to move west to pursue my career, you know, on the West Coast.
Yep.
And while I was out here, I was bored, and I had a lot of free time on my hands, so I started this Twitter account, tweeting as if I were one of my Chicago party aunts. It's based on a couple of my actual aunts. And it suddenly started to grow and get popular, and now it's suddenly streaming all over the world.
But how did it make the transition from, did you pitch it to Netflix? I mean, where did the idea come from, this is a Twitter account, but we're going to make it an animated series on Netflix? I mean, how was that transition done?
So, all of a sudden the account started getting popular, and it started to grow, and I thought to myself, you know, I think I have something on my hands here. And so I put together a creative team. A producer by the name of Richie Schwartz, he's a Chicago guy also. He's a big producer out here. I went to him. I said, I think we could turn this into a TV show. And he agreed. And so we kind of packaged it and pitched it to Netflix. And they bought 16 episodes.
Wow. So, that is amazing. But it's animated. That's another part to the story. It's an animated series. So we
thought, you know, at one point we were thinking about making it live action, but then we figured we could get away with a whole lot more if we made it animated. So that's where that came about.
And I think you made the right choice, because animation, you know, things like The Simpsons, and I'm trying to recall off the top of my head the many others that are on and have been on. And, you know, I think that the consumer is more than welcoming to adult animated series. I want to make this clear. This is not a show for kids.
I've been telling people it's not a Saturday morning cartoon. It's a Saturday night cartoon.
You got that right. And very, very funny. How many people do you have? Are you the only writer, or do you have other folks helping you?
No, so other folks. So I brought in the Barinholtz brothers. They're from Chicago. Two really good friends of mine. Brought them in. Brought a friend of mine named Katie Rich, who was a writer for Saturday Night Live for many years. Brought her in. And then, you know, there's a whole team that we built. I think we must have employed like 100 people throughout this whole process.
I'll bet.
It's been pretty good, yeah.
So how long did it take from Netflix accepting your pitch, which in itself is a huge deal, because they get pitched all the time. Everybody's got an idea. For the time that they did the pitch, they took the pitch to the time that it went on the stream. How long a period of time was that?
We're coming up on about 3 years, if you can believe it.
What? 3 years?
Yeah. Yes. So they bought 16 episodes. A lot of times they'll start with like 8 episodes, but they believed in this right out of the gate. So we did 16, and it's a long process. I mean, at one point we ship it all to South Korea, and then the animators over there animate the whole show. It's a very long process.
Absolutely. 3 years.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't expecting an answer like that. Why all the way to overseas? I mean, you're in the land of Disney over there in L.A. I mean, don't they have, is it an economic thing that they're...
I think it is. I think it's probably an economic thing. I think that they've got really well-known, well-established animation places over there. But, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
So... You went out there to Los Angeles from Chicago, which is a transition that many people in entertainment have made. How did you find it when you got to L.A.? Because I was talking to a friend of mine who works in the technical end of filmmaking, and she left Chicago and took some film classes and went to L.A. and went like, well, here I am. I'm all ready. Come and get me. And nobody did. So, I mean,
yes.
It's difficult out there, man. You know that.
It's very difficult. To be quite honest with you, I hated it at first. Because, you know, I was at the top of the mountain in Chicago. I was performing at Second City every night.
Right.
You know, I was a big deal. I was a big fish in a small pond. And then you come out here, and you're right. It's like you're starting with a clean slate. And I had some really, you know, rough years.
Yeah.
You know, some salad days, as they say,
yes,
when I first came out here. So, listen, if the film tells me...
Uh-oh. Oh, you broke...
Are you? I've learned to like it.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Okay.
So, you know, that brings up a question. There are... Al's Beef... I haven't seen all the episodes yet, but I know there's a reference to getting a year's worth of, is it Giordano's pizza or
no, Uno's, yeah, lifetime supply of Uno's pizzeria deep dish. Yeah.
So do you take into consideration that maybe some of those references are not going to translate to people who don't know Chicago?
Yeah, but we don't care.
Great.
Yes, we do. But listen, we think that the specificity is what is what makes the show. You know, we set out for this to be a love letter to Chicago. And, you know, I think anybody can relate to this kind of lady. And no matter where you live, you've got a party aunt in your life, you know.
Right.
But we think the specificity is what really makes the show great. And we stuck to our guns about packing it with Chicago Easter eggs. So
without revealing anything major, I'm going to watch every episode. But what other Easter eggs can I look forward to? Can you tell me, or is that revealing too much?
Well, there's a certain beloved Chicago weatherman from WGN who makes an appearance.
Are you kidding me?
In episode two.
You mean an animated Tom Skilling?
You better believe it, buddy.
And who's the voice?
The one and only.
Who's the voice of Tom Skilling?
A Second City actor and our showrunner, a guy by the name of Matt Craig, who does a fantastic Skilling impression.
Oh my God, that is awesome! That is, we got to get that. That is so awesome. Does Tom?
Some other
Does Tom know?
Tom knows, and I'm going to be back in town on October 15th to do some press, and Tom and I are going out to dinner.
That's awesome. I love it. Have you had any, what kind of feedback are you getting from Chicagoans about it?
We are getting pretty much across the board great feedback. I mean, there's a couple people who, if we don't get something exactly perfectly right, yeah, you know, they're gonna give you hell about it. But overall, it's been very positive, and I think people get the joke, and they get that we're just, you know, doing our best to tribute this town that we love. And so it's been great.
Well, we talked about the character of the party ant, and you base that on your own ants, and everybody has a party ant. What other characters are in this series as regulars?
So I play Diane. So her name is Diane Dombrowski, because we wanted to give her the most Chicago name ever.
Right.
And then I play her on-again, off-again husband, Kurt Kaczynski. They've been married and divorced a couple times. And Kurt is the head of TSA at Midway Airport.
Oh, my God.
And he's got a big push broom Ditka mustache and a very thick Chicago accent.
Oh, that's awesome. That is just fantastic. I can't wait to see all of this. Are you in a... Wait a minute. Are you in a commercial for... are you in commercials right now?
I am. I'm in these progressive commercials where it's the guy turning into his dad, you know?
And that's with... wait a minute.
Dr. Rick. The guy's there. The commercials are called Dr. Rick, and he's helping people not become their parents. And I've been in about five of them now.
Hold on a second. That's not you though. At the desk, is it?
No, I'm not Dr. Rick. I'm the guy turning into his dad.
Oh my! Oh yeah. Okay, you're like standing at the. It's a tribute to the commercials that I'm able to even remember part of it. What was it? Something like, you mean they make, all they do is serve coffee here or something and they make overhead? Or, man.
Yeah. That's me. They only sell candles and they're making overhead.
Boy, I got to take a lot. And there's one. Boy, this has got to take up a lot of storage space.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or I say, I ask the kid if he knows what kind of fish they are in the pond, and then I say,
God,
don't be coy.
That's you?
Yeah. Ah! That's me.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I see that. Those commercials are running like crazy.
I know, man. It's great. I call it mailbox money. Yeah. I go to my mailbox, and there's checks waiting for me for
right.
those things.
Yeah, you're making money while you're sleeping.
Exactly.
My daughter, Amy, took the same route as you did. She was here in Chicago and not Second City, but did plays, you know, theater, Goodman Theater, Steppenwolf, that kind of thing.
And, oh, sure.
And then eventually went out to L.A. and was just about ready to leave when she got a role in a Coen Brothers movie. And, you know, I hear that story all the time, that people like you and other actors have this desire to go to L.A. because, let's face it, it is the entertainment capital of the friggin' world. I mean, there's no question. I mean, you can't even compare it. There's no comparison. I mean, it's literally not the entire town, but a great percentage of the entire city is involved in one way or another in the entertainment industry. I mean, even things like, you know, directors and cinematographers and wardrobe people and script people. I mean, it just goes on and on. And it's a hard thing to break into because there's so many people there who want it. And
it really is.
Yeah. Yes. So congratulations on that. And I'm looking forward to... I'm looking forward to seeing the animated Tom Skilling. I got to be honest with you. I can't wait for that.
Thank you. And then in episode 7, there's an appearance from Doc Coach. So you'll have to check that one out, too.
You know, if you do a second season, you ought to have Justin Fields and what's that guy's name who's the coach now?
Nagy. Well, he probably won't be the coach for much longer.
Well, thank you for being with us, Chris. I love it.
This was great. I really appreciate you having me on.
Sure. Chicago's Party Ant is what the show is called. It's animated, and it's on Netflix right now.